Good morning. Let's start with a word of prayer. Father, thank you for this time together. Lord, I pray your Holy Spirit would move and touch and reveal. Lord, let your words only come out of my mouth. Let your words only, your thoughts only be my thoughts. And we welcome you, Holy Spirit, to this time. And we ask you to bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. When God created Adam and Eve, what did he do with them? Walked with them, had relationship with them. When Jesus came, relationship. God is all about relationship, having relationships and preserving relationships. And today I want to talk about conflict, because the Lord has a lot to say, and the Bible has a lot to say about how we deal with conflict. And if we're going to preserve relationship, we need to be able to do conflict very, very well. And it makes our life a whole lot easier when we can. Matthew 18:15. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If your brother sins against you. People are going to sin against us. They're going to hurt us. Usually the people closest to us. And very often, they're not even aware of it or not intending to. Nonetheless, everybody we know, except our God, is going to fail us and hurt us. When we are wounded, it's so easy to want to keep looking inside and looking at that wound. That's not a good place to be or a good way to deal with it. So when you are wounded and you do go to your brother, my query to you is, are you sure? Are you very sure? It is another who has sinned against you. James 4:1-2. What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and you do not have, so you murder, you covet, you cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. So very often within the Christian community, I've seen people go to somebody wrongly and cause so much more damage. We have to be sure when we go to our brother that it is not our own feelings that are hurt, that we're just angry, we want to reach out, we want to make it somebody else's problem. So the Bible says, so often we want and we do not have. We can make that somebody else's fault sometimes. They are not giving me what I want, so they are sinning against me. I've seen that. I've had people come to me and said, you know, it's your fault that I'm feeling bad, basically. Not in so many words, but, and it's not. Very often it's our own selfish interest that is causing the problem. And it's a very important thing when we go to somebody, we know where the fault lies, within ourselves, or has our brother indeed sinned against us. As Christians, we need to be confident that we are right with God before we go to somebody else. And if we're going to go to somebody else, it should be out of grief, not out of a desire to hurt or a desire to make ourselves feel better or a desire for whatever, to release our own pain. We must look carefully at ourselves before we go to somebody else. Matthew 7:2. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when there is a log in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. I always love when Jesus uses these huge exaggerations. There's no way we're going to have a log in our eye. But sometimes our own self-delusion is almost as big as a log. And that's something we have to look at before we go to somebody else. Am I seeing clearly? Do I have a log in my own eye? When there's conflict that we need to talk to somebody about, how does that happen? Conflict usually begins with a spark. And the spark might be something as simple as we're different. My husband doesn't care if his dinner's cold. I like it hot. You know, I want you here right now. Well, I'm a little busy now, can't you? conflict can happen out of the silliest, most inane kinds of things, but nonetheless, it can. We have two choices then. So we're different. We see things differently. We want this. Somebody else wants that. We have two choices. We can sin or we can not sin. We can do what's right. We can give and look at the situation honestly, or we can be selfish. When we have a desire, we want our own way. It can become a craving, and a desire comes out of control, can be sin. 1 John 2:16. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eye and pride of life, it is not from the Father, but from the world. When we are constantly aware of what is going on with us, we are so much better at our relationship. When we are understanding, this is me, I just want this, I'm being greedy right now, or this just feels good and I want it to happen this way, or I want to do, those are not from God. And to take somebody on because we have a selfish desire is a really good way to mess up relationships. For every conflict, there is a beginning, a difference. That is a spark. How we respond is whether we take that deep breath, respond well, or do we let our emotions fly? The choice is whether we pour gasoline on the spark or we just let it simmer out by obedience to God's word and by responding in love. Philippians 2:4. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but the interests of others. That can be really hard, especially in the little things. There's a saying that charity begins at home. And the charity we give the people closest to us makes it easier to give charity to those who aren't so close. If we can be thoughtful and careful in the little things in our everyday life, it's so much easier to be thoughtful and careful in the big things. Because we're training ourselves. We're training our brains. How do I respond? Do I take that deep breath or do I let my emotions go? So when we mess up, what do? We let our emotions fly. We said something rude. We said something harsh. We were selfish. What do? First, apologize. The apology should go as far as the offense. If you yelled at your kid in front of the whole family, you need to apologize. I'm sorry I yelled at you. That was wrong of mommy. I shouldn't yell. I should talk to you. And then to the family members, I shouldn't have done that. Your apology should go as far as the people who witnessed the damage. When we're out of line, we need to let people know we're out of line. Now, this is so easy to say, but it is hard to do, especially in our homes when we're stupid and we know it and we don't want to own it. But it's important. And the more we start doing it on the little things, the easier it becomes. To make excuses for our behavior is a sin. It's a lie. We shouldn't do it. As Christians, we should be as honest and forthright as we can possibly be. And we can. And it's far easier to apologize right away than make excuses and then try to figure out how you undo the damage you just did. And when you do apologize, don't insult the other person with, "I'm sorry, I didn't know you were so sensitive." Who's gotten those, right? Or, "If I've offended you, I am sorry." No, those aren't apologies. They're lies and excuses. When you apologize, apologize specifically. "I'm sorry I yelled. I'm sorry I accused. I'm sorry I..." Make it specific. And acknowledge the hurt. If you're at work and yelled at a coworker, you need to apologize to everybody who heard that. The coworker, "I'm sorry I yelled at you in front of everybody. I know I embarrassed you terribly. My bad behavior was out of line." You want to repair a relationship. That is an excellent way to start. People love hearing when they've been wrong that you understand what you did wrong. And people are generally very forgiving when you go to them like that. It's important that we own what we did to somebody when we did something wrong. If it's your children, I'm sorry I yelled at you. I understand I frightened you. That was not right. By doing that, your children then are going to trust you more, but also you're going to be more responsible for your own behavior. And we need to accept consequences. If we lost it, blew up at work, and our coworker doesn't want to be in an office with us anymore, we need to acknowledge that. Makes sense to me. You don't want a room with me or share an office space with me. I was really bad. Again, if bad behavior happens in public, the apology needs to be to every person who witnessed it. I lost my temper yesterday. I yelled at my friend and my coworker. That was very wrong of me. Not only will you heighten your esteem in other people's eyes, you are repairing relationships. And again, God came for us to have relationship with him and one another. Ephesians 4:32. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Forgiveness is not just telling somebody I forgive you or asking somebody to forgive me. Actually, it has nothing to do with anybody but God. When we ask for forgiveness, when we forgive, we're getting ourselves right with God. So if somebody harms me and I know I must forgive them, the first thing I need to do is say, okay, Lord, I'm hurt, I'm sad, but I choose to forgive. Because the Lord's Prayer said, if you want to be forgiven, you must forgive. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. That little word is very important. If we want forgiveness, we must extend it. And we extend it by getting our heart right with God. I've known so many people who have been deeply wounded by theft, by embezzlement, by rape, all sorts of things. They can forgive that person. Why? Because God forgives us. But the trick is, forgiving does not excuse bad behavior. It just doesn't. If somebody has embezzled money, we forgive them, but they still have the law to deal with. They still have consequences. If we have done something terrible and the person has forgiven us, we still have consequences. I have seen too many times within the Christian church that consequences and forgiveness are meshed together. They are totally separate issues. I've been at my friend's church where this treasurer embezzled a whole lot of money, and the church fell apart because there was so much money gone. Okay, did they forgive him? Yes. Was he around money again? Never, never, never. Were there consequences? Yes. Did he go to jail? Yes. Consequences and forgiveness are completely different. Forgiveness is putting our heart right with God so that he can forgive us. Consequences are the direct result of somebody else's actions. If you step on ice and not careful, the consequences, you're going to fall. And consequences are help us learn. In November 19th, Dan and I will have our 25th anniversary. On that day, we got married at our good friend's house, Ray and Pat. They are two of the gentlest, hardest working saints I have ever seen. When we met them, they were older. They were 60s. When Ray was a younger man, I really didn't even know what. He was in prison. He was in jail. He was a child molester. He was a drunk. He was a vicious man. He got to jail. He got saved. I didn't know him then. When I met him, he is one of my favorite people. We talked to him not too long ago. Consequences save us. I do a Bible study in the jail in Walker. People are very vulnerable in jail. As Christians, we should not protect people from right consequences. We just shouldn't. That's how God often works within their lives, is the consequences. Oh, you did something bad? Well, I forgive you. It's all done. No, it's not. It is not. And as Christians, if we can get that in our head, that consequences, like raising kids, consequences are important. I told you not to do this, and you did this, so you don't get to play with that toy anymore, whatever it is. The younger people learn consequences, the easier it is for them as adults to understand what it means to have them and why we have them. When we forgive someone, Again, we are not excusing bad behavior. We are getting our own heart right with God. And that is the beginning of healing. It doesn't mean, okay, Lord, I want to forgive them, and all of a sudden our heart is full of warm, fuzzy feelings. No, that's the first step. And it's an effort. We have to forgive them over and over. Every time somebody's hurt me and I'm mad at them and blah, 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 and I'll say, okay, Lord, I want to get my heart right with you. I forgive them. Well, pretty soon I find myself thinking nasty thoughts or blah, 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 whatever. I'm going to get them. And I thought, no, I've forgiven them. And I don't let myself. I work hard not to let myself dwell on that. That is what forgiveness is, not throwing it back in their face, not remembering it and dwelling on it and ruminating and all that garbage. It's letting it go. And that's how God can start to heal us, because we're not looking inward at what was wrong. We're looking upward at God, at what he wants us to do, doing what's right, thinking what's right. That is such an important part of keeping our heart right with God, is what are our thoughts? Are they ruminating in sin? Are they running around thinking all these bad things? Or are they constantly going back, okay, Lord, you forgave me, I forgive them. I say that a lot when I need to forgive somebody. I just talk myself through it because I don't want to let bitterness take a hold. And the root, the unforgiveness, if you don't forgive, you will get bitter. And we all know people, thank you, who are bitter because they won't forgive. And just have to remember, if we don't forgive, God will not forgive us. He judges us by how we forgive others. Small breaches of trust have small consequences. Large breaches have large consequences. And this is for the protection of those who have done the wrong thing. We can forgive, but doesn't mean the offender doesn't take those consequences. We have to remember always, consequences, forgiveness is different. Forgiveness is keeping our heart right with God. Consequences is them in society or them in the law or whatever those happen to be. When I go to the jail in Walker, I've had some amazing experiences. One woman, oh, she was so funny. She's this beautiful young girl, absolutely stunning. I think she's one of the prettiest women I've ever seen. I don't think pretty covers it. Beautiful. And she was a mess. I think she was high or demonic. I don't know. She's walking back and forth, talking very quickly, all wound up in herself. And there's another woman in the room. There were three of us, two inmates and myself. And I asked the other woman if she was a Christian, and she said yes. She had a problem with alcohol, and she was in jail for it. And this young woman was walking, and I said, are you a Christian? She said, what does that mean? You know, really. So I explained to her what it means to be a Christian. And the other lady and I were talking to her, and I said, would you like to be a Christian? Well, yeah. So we laughed about that, and we talked to her. What does it mean to turn your life over to the Lord? What happens in your heart when you do that? The Holy Spirit comes in and dwells within you. And so we talked about that for a while. She was just so funny about it. And then she goes, I have to ask you, when is Judgment Day? I keep hearing about that. So we laughed again and said, well, that's kind of the biggest question of all time. But it was just such a blessing to have this conversation with this woman and to see how the consequences of her actions, her being in jail, opened her life to receive Christ. And at the end of the Bible study, we had a long one that day, whatever the circumstances were. It was almost 2 hours I was in there. And when I left, she was leaning against the wall, her face completely peaceful. And her last words to me were, I have a big hole to dig myself out of. From that intense, wound up, talking 90 miles a minute to this peaceful, beautiful girl. Consequences have a purpose in our society, and we can't take them away from somebody. To leave somebody in their sin is cruel. To leave somebody not having dealt with what they did is not a kind or Christian thing to do. Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable. Ephesians 4:22-24. Put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and be renewed by the spirit of your minds, and put on the new self, created in the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Having good relationship is putting on the mind of Christ, getting right with him when we need to forgive, allowing consequences when that is important. And when necessary, we do need to go to somebody when they have hurt us, or whatever that circumstance is, we need to get that relationship right. But it's so important we're right within ourselves, that we know, okay, Lord, I'm right with you. I do need to go talk to my brother or my sister. I have an older sister who's very crabby. She's very crabby, always has been, ever since we were kids. When I used to read the Peanuts cartoon, I thought she was Lucy, and I wondered. I wasn't very bright when I was young. I kept mixing her up because she was always just cranky, and she still is. And so she'll call me and she'll whatever. And you know, I don't go back to her with it. I just say, okay, Lord, help me to do what you would have me do. Help me to preserve this relationship as best it can be preserved, given who she is. I can't change her, but I can respond to her in love as best I can. And if she's too mean, I'll just say, it's time for me to go. I've got something to do. Yeah, that's her. But it doesn't have to affect me. I can walk in forgiveness. I don't have to tell everybody how nasty she is. Sometimes I do if she's really hurt me bad. I need to talk about it because it's, you know, gets that stuff out of us. As a pastor, as a mother, as a wife, all of us in our positions, our relationships, we can always do so much better by walking in forgiveness, by making sure our hearts are right with God. When we keep our lives in balance with the Lord, with others, serving those around us, that's how God calls us to live our life. Proverbs 4, 7, and 8. The beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom, and whatever you get insight. Prize her highly. She will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. Proverbs 3, 35. The wise will inherit honor, but fools get disgrace. And flying off the handle and not working on our relationships is a foolish thing to do. God made us to love, to be responsible for those he's put around us, to take care of our relationships with him and others, and with those we serve. So, brothers and sisters, I pray that you will think about how to deal with conflict and how to deal with those around you so that you are a blessing and not a curse. I want to pray. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you, Lord, that you are God of all these things. Put your words into our heart. Put your thoughts into our minds, Lord, that we would honor you in everything we do and in every relationship, especially the one with you. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.